The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas Resources today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
This is an emergency appropriation bill. That's what we should do with it before we start rushing to judgment as to specifics on it. Something we have to do. It's something we have to do. How we get there, I really don't know at this stage. The main thing we have to do is recognize we have an emergency, and Senator Mikulski announced that she was going to have a hearing on that. I believe she said Thursday.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid on immigration, he is pumping it up as best he can for the president to try to win over the Republicans and others to get the approval for the more than $3 billion the Prez wants to iron out the situation along the Mexican border. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. This, of course, is occupying a lot of space and time in these United States on radio airwaves and elsewhere, probably in your neck of the woods. This is the buzz in the backyard because it affects so many of us. Ultimately, what will this look like a year from now? At this point, it's hard to think that far ahead, isn't it? And if we're present-centered, we say, my goodness, our bases are overrun with so many kids and so many other illegals. They've got to figure out a way to quickly process the migrant kids and try to move ahead of this surge. But as I say, they try to move ahead of the surge. Once and if they get the funding, it'll only be to find places to house more and also to hire more judges temporarily to be able to pay them and to pay more Border Patrol agents. But what it won't do is create the security at the border we still don't have. Anybody, Democrat, Republican, ask them. It's always about secure the border, secure the border, secure the border. I mean, it's like a tired phrase that is so worn out because it doesn't lead to anything. It's just a conversation starter. Of course, if you ask somebody, it's not difficult to say secure the border, but it's difficult to do it because nobody will step forward and make that become a reality. At this point, we haven't seen it. How does that become a reality? How about money for that so that we're not in these situations? And we shouldn't have been here in the first place because there was no strategy behind the executive order. If there had been some strategy, maybe it wouldn't have been as bleak of a situation. You know, there's 2,700 at least unaccompanied kids who came across through Mexico illegally and are now on one of three bases pretty much in the United States, California, in Texas, and in Oklahoma. So they are busting out. They don't have any more room. They're hustling food, clothes, diapers, all kinds of things. That's what's happened. We have soldiers doing that. We have Border Patrol agents doing that. Pretty much that's the picture. So the money will help this particular crisis, but it is not addressing the overall concern because it does not secure the border. And as long as we don't do anything at the border to secure it, we're going to keep coming back to the same well. And when does the flow stop? When does it end? How many people are going to flow out of Central America, especially into the United States? I mean, when does the spigot get cut off? And the answer is we don't know the answer to that question. You can send the vice president to Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, but it doesn't mean the people get what he's saying and they're going to back off. Geez, maybe we're not going to go there and claim asylum or send our kid there. I don't think so. As of now, that's not a deterrent. Well, those words don't mean anything. Don't mean anything. In the meantime, we have some other things that we're going to talk about this hour of America Tonight, including what's the latest in Afghanistan. And believe it or not, we could be completely gone by the end of 2014 because who's in charge? And the answer to that question is, we don't know. There have been a couple of snafus with the election process and two candidates saying that they're the winners. There's no bilateral agreement. So there's a very good chance that the bet is off, that we're done. Unless something happens in the next couple of months to change that. You would think the threat might be enough, but maybe not. Maybe not. We'll also talk about some other things that are happening in the Middle East, some that might actually surprise you. And besides that, the Republicans have chosen, they know where they're going to have their 2016 convention, but have they chosen a candidate? And of course the answer to that is no. Is there a narrow field? No. I think it's a very broad field. Unlike the Democrats, who there may be some Democrats who say they're going to run, but we know it comes down to Hillary Clinton. If it's not Hillary Clinton, then it will be a whole bunch of people that will try to jump up and grab that space, including the vice president. And he still might try to do that. But this is hers to let slip away, and I don't think she's going to let it slip away. I think this is Hillary Clinton's. So if the Democrats, pretty much in their minds, are narrowed, and it's all about who the VP is going to be, even though they won't admit to that, that it's not a wide-open process, then really it's the Republicans who have the bigger question mark as to the platform, perhaps, and also who the next presidential choice is going to be from the Republican ranks. But there is no mystery as to where the convention is going to be held. It's going to be held in Cleveland, Ohio. And bravo to Rents Priebus pulling the strings for the GOP strategy-wise, because the strategy of having the convention the last week in June or the beginning of July is very, very smart. Last time, it was too late, having it late in August and then having to do an all-out, hurry-up fundraiser and let's get as much money in the door as we can to make our last great push. Getting ready for a convention and speeches and all of that takes some legwork. It's better to have it earlier, I think, in the summer. This gives the Republicans more of a chance to regroup and get the message out there, united around one person, and I think they learned that lesson from the last time out. I mentioned the Middle East, and we're going to talk about the situation in the Middle East coming up this hour with Ivan Eland. We have him on the show quite a bit. He writes for the Huffington Post and some other things as well, and Ivan is a senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. And he talks about reducing fear and the importance of that. It's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Next, some odds and ends. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Think the national debt is $15 trillion? Boston U economics professor Lawrence Kotlikoff astutely points out that after factoring in guarantees such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and defense expenditures, the national debt is closer to $211 trillion. Mathematically, this debt is not serviceable via taxation, and for politicians on Capitol Hill, default is not an option. So we can expect the Federal Reserve to monetize the shortfall, resulting in even more confiscation of our hard-earned savings via inflation. Hi, my name is Adam Miller with Midas Resources. In light of the MF Global swindle, it is now more apparent than ever that our savings investments are not secure in the hands of traditional banking institutions overseen by government technocrats kept in their back pockets. Call me today at 800-686-2237, extension 148, to find out how you can protect your savings from confiscation with liquid, portable, and private precious metals. I'll even send you a booklet titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold to serve as a guide. That number again is 800-686-2237, extension 148. 800-686-2237, extension 148.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes?
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Deal. Here's what Terrence Eager had to say about the convention and the elephants.
Today, we finished first in a very important competition, not only in politics in America, but especially to showcase just how far this region has come.
All right, that region is, as mentioned, Cleveland. So the convention gets moved up. End of June, beginning of July, or mid-July at the latest, and it's going to be held in Cleveland, not in Dallas, Texas. As it turns out, there wasn't hotel space, and the American Airlines Center, the big, brand-new facility that's only a handful of years old, was not available. So because that wasn't available, I think that pretty much X'd out the chances for Dallas, and it made more sense. Cleveland was the choice then. It was pretty evident that's where they were going to go. So how about that? So the show will go on in Cleveland, but who's going to take center stage? We don't know at this point. We could take the odds on favorite Rand Paul. Certainly his stock has risen. Some say don't count Chris Christie out, although I think that's a hard sell now at this point. Ted Cruz, even though some will make the argument, is he really an American? Remember denying the whole Canadian citizenship, but I don't think he has a problem with that. Jeb Bush's name keeps coming up. So does the governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal's name, constantly mentioned. But just because their names are thrown out and they're in the mix does not mean there won't be a dormant candidate that we have not thought of yet that suddenly takes the party by storm. And boy, the Republicans, I think in one way, would welcome that. But it makes it, this is the stuff that makes it, I think, a little more interesting. All right, I promised some odds and ends, so I wanted to jump ahead to a couple of different things, including this one about a man choking to death at a hot dog eating contest. You know, we just went through the 4th of July, and you have the Coney Island hot dog deal where it's so big now that ESPN for a long time has had it on the air, and they make a big deal of it, and it's major coverage. I'm sure Nathan's loves it because their name gets thrown out all over the place. It's actually a brilliant marketing campaign, a guerrilla marketing campaign for them that's worked forever since they started televising it especially. But this was a 4th of July contest in Custer, South Dakota. Some of you might know that area. And seriously, this was tragic. Imagine this. 47-year-old guy, just like what they're doing in Coney Island, just like this whole idea of food, you know, eating contests, eating pies and that kind of stuff has been around for a long time. But now it's even bigger. So this 47-year-old died at the hospital because the attempts to try to save him flat out failed. I mean, they were doing CPR. They say he probably just suffocated because it got lodged in his throat. And the paramedics tried and tried, and they could not get it out. As a result, it was so shocking that what could you do? There were other contests, food contests that were supposed to happen. They just canceled. They had a pie-eating contest. He said forget about it because they were just couldn't believe it. His family was shocked and couldn't believe it. And like I said, you think of the speed eating competitions. Joey Chestnut ate 61 hot dogs in 10 minutes this time around in Coney Island. That's crazy. And look what happens to this poor guy when they're trying to duplicate it in a different way. And he chokes and they just can't do anything to save him. So now, instead, they're planning a funeral. Wow. Boy, oh, boy, that is tough. And so you wonder if more, like, fair-type places and local events that they'll kind of stop that, thinking, yeah. I mean, I know, I realize that there are a ton of these things that go on. But when you start to see what can happen, maybe it's not worth it, and they'll cancel some of that. You know, pie-eating contests could be a little different because a lot of times people sort of put their face in the pie, and it's more for laughs than anything else. And this isn't the serious competitive eating. I don't know how those people can do it. I really don't. I know there was all kinds of tricks, but, wow, sad story. On to something else that I said that we would mention here, and I'll tell you, this is on a serious note, but it definitely falls into odds and ends because this could be the end. The NATO chief is saying that the Afghan president, which we don't know who that's going to be, has to be decided by September. If not, look out, because the NATO troops can't stay. And for good reason they can't stay. There has to be a key security agreement. There have to be legal things in place to protect the troops that are there. Otherwise, the engagement is done. How can there be any force? How can there be use of force if it's not approved? So it's kind of not looking good because the two candidates, Abdullah Abdullah and Ashraf Ghani, are in a runoff. And each one of them says that they won. Now, they also said they would sign the security agreement because that's putting everything kind of in limbo. But it doesn't matter. You can't have both of them. If Afghanistan doesn't have signed security agreements with NATO, then there's not going to be any kind of a training mission, anything after 2014. So Afghanistan, a little different than Iraq, but would they completely want to take that chance? Now, Afghanistan would say, well, our security forces are much tighter than in Iraq. They have 350,000 soldiers and police. And they say they can handle security situations, and they've shown that. So they say they're ready to take full responsibility, a little different than what we saw happen in Iraq recently. But, of course, the United States has been gone since 2011, too, so there was more years in the rearview mirror. And maybe in the beginning with Afghanistan, it's okay, but who knows. But if there's no declared prez, then you can bet it's done, that it's over. And no, there won't be anybody in sight because they can't do it. You can't legally do it, and you can't leave people there in that case. Can't leave troops, in other words, in that case. Will not work. Here's a quick follow-up, too, and this also falls into odds and ends, because so many of us, just 2 months ago, were talking about this outrageousness at the VA in Phoenix and across the United States, and now here we go. A whistleblower talking about this culture of a retaliation at the VA, and it's not surprising, I would think, that that's happening. In fact, there were a group of them that were at a hearing on Tuesday night. They say they were harassed. They were placed on leave. They encountered all kinds of retaliation when they tried to report what was wrong that was happening. There are 67 claims of retaliation by supervisors against employees who filed whistleblower complaints, 25 complaints filed since June 1st, and this is all part of that healthcare scandal involving long patient waits and false records at the hospitals and clinics, since all that was made public. So the Independent Office of Special Counsel, they're saying that 30 of the complaints have passed the review stage and that they're being investigated for corrective action and possible discipline against VA supervisors and other executives. How about that? Complaints filed at 28 states in 28 states at 45 different VA hospitals and other facilities. Wow. I mean, I think we've just seen the beginnings of this. There's probably much more to come. All right. We're booting it to the other side. We'll meet Ivan Eland, and so will you here on America Tonight.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Boy, we have a lot to talk about with our pal Ivan Elin this time around, senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. He had a great article once again in the Huffington Post, Resolving Conflicts in Artificial States. And when we're talking about artificial states, it's interesting some of the comparisons that he makes between, for example, Syria, Iraq, the Ukraine, which we just talked about the Ukraine earlier with Luke Vargas from the UN and what's happening there, to Canada and Belgium, for instance, and I'll let him explain. But, Ivan, thanks, as always, for spending some time with us here on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
So when you talk about artificial states, and I just gave some broad strokes there, talking about what we're seeing fighting-wise in the countries that I just mentioned, and then looking at other countries that have had some political infighting and conflict, but not the violence. What do you mean by artificial states?
Well, it's usually states that are configured by outside powers, and the territorial boundaries don't fit with the ethno-sectarian makeup of various groups. For instance, overlapping religions, culture, language, et cetera. And there may be people with significant minority status within those boundaries. Now, academic research shows that if you have 10% or less of a minority in within a certain boundary, you don't really have problems with ethnic fighting usually. Now, of course, the 10% is not completely hard, but around that area. But if you get more than that, for instance, Northern Ireland, there's a third Catholics and two-thirds Protestants, then the minority starts to threaten the majority with a security problem, and that is the security problem is a phenomenon that we see. One side gets defensive arms. The other side sees the arming, so they get threatened, and then we have this escalation and fighting. So a lot of times these states, especially in the Middle East with Iraq and Syria, the boundaries were drawn after World War I by colonial powers, France and Britain, who wanted to divide up the oil in the Middle East. And so, for instance, Iraq was cobbled together from three provinces of the Ottoman Empire, but none of those three provinces had any links with each other. They all had links with the central Ottoman Empire in Istanbul, but none of them had any cultural or links with each other. So Iraq is a completely artificial state. The same minority groups exist in Syria, and Lebanon has even more groups if you throw in the Christians in there. So they have a substantial group in Lebanon. So all these states, and in Europe, there's a lot of this too in the Balkans. Bosnia, for instance, had Muslims, Croats, and Serbs, and we had this problem in Ukraine where you have Russian speakers in the east and in Crimea in the south, and then you had the regular Ukrainian population as well. But of course, Crimea has been annexed by Putin, but most of the people there wanted to be part of Russia. Now in eastern Ukraine, it's a bit different. We're not exactly sure how many people want to be with Russia and how many people would prefer to stay with Ukraine, but there's a heavy amount of Russian speakers there, so that's where the problem comes in, when these states and the linguistic, religious, ethnic boundaries don't match.
I love what you said, the line that you had in your piece. You say, talk of inclusive governments or power-sharing arrangements in these nations is as naive as Rodney King's heartfelt statement, why can't we get along? And then you go on to explain, the only viable solution is to reduce fear. So how do you reduce fear?
Well, the problem with Iraq is the United States, let's take Iraq as the lead example here. The United States is advocating that they get an inclusive government. Well, they've had an inclusive government, supposedly, except it doesn't work that way. It looks inclusive, but then one group, in this case the Shiites, led by Maliki, they try to exclude Sunnis and Kurds from the army and the high up political offices. And the reason for that is the Sunnis used to do that to the other groups for decades. And the last ruler, Sunni ruler they had that did that was Saddam Hussein. So, of course, the Shiites are nervous that the Sunnis are going to get the central government back and oppress the Shiites again. So they're oppressing the Sunnis. And you see, you have this security dilemma again. One side thinks the other side is going to oppress it, and so it tries to get control of the central government. The only way you can reduce the fear is not by having an inclusive power sharing agreement. It's by weakening the central government so that it can't be used to suppress or oppress the other groups. For instance, the Kurds already have an autonomous area up in the north guarded by their own militias. They keep their own security. They have their own judicial system. And so you could still have an Iraq, but what you need to do is decentralize it to have at least two more autonomous regions, maybe more, depending on if different cities want it to be their own autonomous regions. But you'd have a Shiite region, a Kurd region, and a Sunni region, and they would all have their security and their judicial system. You know, the people who have the guns and who decide on the mete out the punishment if people have crimes and stuff, those have been manipulated in the past to oppress people. But if each group has its own system, like the Kurds have had economic success, tranquility, and everything else up in their own autonomous area, but we just keep denying that that's a model for Iraq. You can still have an Iraq, but it would be decentralized with each autonomous area keeping the security and the judiciary, but maybe having a common trade area or a common financial area or a common currency like the EU. So Iraq would be a loose confederation of autonomous regions, And I think you could do the same thing with Syria. Of course, now, the problem, I wrote a book in 2009, which is still relevant. It was called Partitioning for Peace, an Exit Strategy for Iraq, in which I advocated that the U.S., before it withdrew its troops, negotiate a soft partition, soft meaning without violence, you know, negotiated among the groups of autonomous regions to set up the boundaries. And the boundaries have to be set up correctly in these instances so that each autonomous region is viable. But this would be, and I said, you know, either we do this softly before we leave by negotiation, or Iraq is going to be partitioned by war. And that's what we've seen now. I don't think ISIS is going to be strong enough to take Baghdad or the South, since they had no political support there, because those people are Shiites rather than Sunnis, and ISIS is a Sunni group. So Sunnis, the ISIS will control north and western part of Iraq. The Kurds will have the northeast, and the Shiites will have the south. And probably, either Baghdad will be all Shiite or it will be split. But I think most of the it'll probably be cleansed by one group or the other. But anyway, Baghdad could be its own autonomous region as well. So, it's still possible, but I'm afraid it's really going to have to be done by force, and those boundaries are going to have to be established by this war that we're going to have, because it's just this inclusive government that they're proposing. We've already seen one inclusive government fail because it's really not inclusive, and it can't be in a state with that much ethno-sectarian fissures. And the same way with Syria, there's too much bad blood there. And if we don't keep this from spreading, Lebanon could also go back into civil war. Lebanon had a civil war from 1976 to 1990. And, of course, it was the groups fighting each other in much the same way they're fighting each other in Iraq and Syria now.
Yeah, and based on what you said there, and, of course, it's a little bit different with Afghanistan, but is this kind of a prelude to what we could see with a few different tweaks in Afghanistan?
Well, actually, you're seeing it in Afghanistan, too. It's a bit different, as you say. You have the Tajik and the Uzbeks, which are minorities, and the Pashtuns have always run Afghanistan. They just had an election, and the Tajik guy, he's actually of mixed origin, but he's perceived as being on the Tajik side of things. He won the first round of the election, but mysteriously, in a land where corruption is rampant, the Pashtun guy has won the second round. And so they're having a big dispute, and the Tajik, Abdullah, he's threatening to set up his own government. Well, that's the quickest way to a civil war right there. Remember, we had the Confederate States of America and the United States of America fighting the Civil War. So when that happens, and he's threatening to do that. Now, he hasn't done it already, at least not as of early today. Whether he did it today, I don't know. But he's hanging right on the cliff. So we could – Afghan is another sort of artificial state. Now, of course, the people – the countries of the international system don't like this idea of partitioning, because they look out, like China has groups, India has groups, even Spain and Belgium and Canada have groups that want to separate. But you don't necessarily have to partition the country into new countries, as we did with Yugoslavia. You can have an arrangement like in Bosnia, where you have a weak central government and the groups get to veto things. So there's a little bit of inefficiency there, but sometimes if the government is slaughtering people efficiently, we don't want that to happen. We like inefficiency in that case, and that's what's happened in Bosnia. There's other, like the region that Belgium and Canada have survived is because they have a tolerant political culture, which is based on the fact that Quebec and Canada and the regions in Belgium get a lot of autonomy. They already have autonomy, and yet they still have complaints about, people want their own self-determination, but it's not as acute in Canada and Belgium where there's violence or whatever, simply because the regions of the country in question already have a lot of autonomy. So you can see that autonomy works, but you don't necessarily have to get rid of countries like Iraq or Syria. You just have to decentralize the government so that it's weak, and that people, that is the central government, so that the groups don't fight over it, because they fear that one group is going to use it to oppress the other.
Nice way to tie this up. Ivan Elin, thanks so much for coming on America.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
This year, a total of 64 matches in 12 cities across Brazil captivated a global audience, including millions in the United States. 2014 World Cup ratings and crowds prove that soccer is more than on the map. That's next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Juicy Juice, 100% juice, providing a full serving of fruit in every 4 ounces. Visit us at juicyjuice.com. When it comes to nutrition, kids need both fruits and vegetables every day to stay healthy and grow. For the ideal mix, your kids should have at least 1.5 cups of any veggie or 100% veggie juice, and 1 cup of any fruit or 100% fruit juice a day. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Right from the start in the opening match for Team USA against Portugal, more than 25 million viewers watched on ESPN, Spanish language Univision, and looked at their mobile apps. Despite the U.S. eventually losing in the round of 16 to Belgium, many are still watching. So why is this brand of football catching on? Part of it has to be related to the amount of boys and girls playing the game of soccer. U.S. youth soccer has well over 3 million registered players compared to 75,000 in the 70s. Also, the demographic shift in the nation. 17% of Americans are from Spanish-speaking countries, according to the Census Bureau. It can't hurt that the NFL isn't in action. In fact, soccer only has to compete with baseball, and let's face it, these are the dog days of summer. I'm the Sports Princess, and that's Sports Shorts.
I like to see you go right across the floor.
All right, we're rounding that final turn for this hour of America Tonight. And there is no doubt that a lot of people are paying attention to the World Cup. People are also paying attention to what's happening at the border. So it's interesting I mentioned in the piece the embracing of soccer, and part of that is because of Spanish-speaking Americans. And then on the other side of this, we see so many others trying to come in through Mexico from Central America, and it's just a really an unbelievable, chaotic mess that they're trying to sort out at this hour. The last 3 weeks have been intense for the Border Patrol, that's for sure. David from San Francisco gets the award for hanging around the longest. David, we appreciate you hanging through. What's on your mind?
Well, howdy, Kate. Yeah, I wish I could have gotten on with your previous guest there. I had really called to talk about what's going on in the Middle East, although the immigration issue is kind of an interesting one. You remember last winter, basically right around Christmas when they shut down government, and they did it with that sequester. And if you think about it, every agency of the U.S. government was supposed to get a 10% cut, whether it was the welfare department or the libraries or the sewers or the freshwater systems or the military. Well, ever since that, guess who's been lobbying the hardest to get their 10% back plus? And that's the military.
Yeah.
They're going for a war with Russia. They want to go a war with Iran. They want a war with, they'll go to war with Mars if they can have it. And, so it's just, you know, this current business with ISIS, it, really seems like they're going for they want their money back. And, whether it's fighting, they want to get the military to fight kids on the border. I mean, this is just how depraved they are. They a bunch of cowards, you know, with guns. So, you know, but what I would have wanted to ask of your previous guest there was, I've talked to you about Saudi Prince Bandar, and Saudi Prince Bandar was the guy that provided the chemical gas to. Basically, last summer when there was that gassing and we were about to go to war with Syria, it turned out that the former U.S. or the former Saudi ambassador to the United States, Saudi Prince Bandar, he was the guy that provided the chemical gas, and he was trying to trick America into that war. And since Russia had a treaty with Syria. If we had gone to war with Syria, we would have gone to war with Russia. And then it also turned out there was a secret agreement with Syria and Iran that if Syria was attacked, that Iran would go to war as well. So not only would we have gone to war with Russia, Syria, and Iran, but they would have gotten their money back in the sequester. But Bandar got fired for it. He got exposed for providing that chemical gas, and he had been given the position as the CIA director of Saudi Arabia. Well, he got fired from that position, and then he got reappointed, and then he got fired again. And just the other day, I noticed that they've reappointed another Bandar to the very same spot. And guess who he is? It's Bandar's son.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so this guy is an opera. I mean, he is, you know, he goes way back. He's the guy that tricked Jimmy Carter into letting him do the negotiating for the hostages, which led to Ronald Reagan getting elected. He was Saudi Prince Bandar was the guy that was working with Oliver North with all of the smuggling of drugs and smuggling of guns and money laundering, the billions and billions and billions of dollars. Saudi Prince Bandar was there to help Daddy Bush get the Gulf War started. You remember they tricked America into believing that the Iraqis had been tossing babies out of incubators onto the floor, and it turned out that was an utter lie, and it was Saudi Prince Bandar that went to the United Nations and convinced everybody that we should go to war, even based upon that lie. So Saudi Prince Bandar has been tricking America for decades now, 25 years, and I think we've about had enough of him, but they're trying to put his boy in charge now.
Boy, and isn't that scary? Because that'll just be a legacy. That'll be the same old, same old. And I think people David aren't paying attention to that, although it's right there for anyone to see.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because it took me a little bit to discover that he was, this new Bandar was his son. It took five or six articles to discover that it was actually ABC News that disclosed that, but most of the Middle Eastern press didn't disclose that it was Bandar's son that was replacing him as the CIA director. And actually, Bandar got elevated back up into the king's favor again, so now he's not only a special envoy, but he's a special consultant. So the guy that, and actually ISIS was also created by Bandar.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, so this guy that, you know, we are supposed to be fighting the ISIS madmen, and it turns out that if you look at Saudi Arabian laws, they you can get executed for just cussing, for blasphemy. You can get executed for adultery. You can get executed for a lot of non-murder laws.
Sure.
And it turns out that the death row, of course, they've got a lot of people on death row out there, and they've been offering them the chance that if they would go fight with ISIS, they'll drop the death row penalty. So a pretty ugly prospect to either go fight with a bunch of madmen or get your head cut off in a stadium. So this is the nature of who ISIS really is a bunch of people who are trapped with a kind of a devil's bargain.
Yeah, you don't say. There's no question about that. Last time that you mentioned this, last time you were on, we talked about that too. It's so interesting. Thanks so much for hanging and for calling us on that. What a twist that what that is and what that means with Saudi Arabia. Certainly, it should raise more than a few eyebrows. That's for sure. And especially when we look at the hopscotch of the Middle East and the, as I call it, the quicksand and what we're sinking into. And this is part of the reason why. It's, you go back to oil, you go back to Saudi control, you go back to a whole bunch of things that can be traced back for decades. And the connections, actually, as David is saying, and the connections to Saudi Arabia. Hey, quick reminder, in our next show, we'll do our cheap movie review. Also, as I mentioned, I'm going to go through Roger Ebert's picks through his whole life when he started critiquing movies, what his picks were from the late 60s all the way through until his death. It's pretty interesting. I think you'll find some of the movies that he chose is kind of surprising, and others that completely make sense. It's always fun to take that time out, and I don't know, I guess with some of the movies that have been pretty lame lately, maybe going back into the vaults and checking out movies that you haven't seen, even from the 70s or the 80s, might be worth it, especially when you can stream them for a buck or two. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
A Big Berkey water filter.
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, and in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.